Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze'ev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Barry Hoffman. There are two subjects we want to speak about on this week's program. The first is a dispute among people who claim to be supporters of Rabbi Meir Kahana about whether or not Rabbi Kahana really wants all Jews to make Aliyah, really wanted Aliyah, or whether or not it's acceptable to live in the Galut, to live outside of the land of Israel. Where did Rabbi Kahana really stand on the issue of all Jews being required to live in the land of Israel? And the second subject we want to speak about is Donald Trump's latest positions. Once again, he's adding layer after layer of positions, not only to the left of the Republican Party, in some cases to the left of many Democrats. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's latest swing to the left this week. Just this week alone, he made some new proposals that would have a profound effect on the economy, that would greatly expand the federal government and the bureaucracy, and that are indeed part of a left-wing ideology. But first, let's speak about Rabbi Kahana and the issue of Aliyah. Aliyah means Jews moving to the land of Israel. There is no question that it is a mitzvah, it is a commandment for Jews to move to the land of Israel. Haramban, with a nun, counted Aliyah, counted moving to the land of Israel as one of the 613 mitzvot, as one of the Taryag mitzvot in the Torah. Harambam, with a mem at the end, did not count it as one of the 613 mitzvot because it was such a fundamental part of Judaism. When you had fundamental parts of Judaism that are the very foundation of the religion, Harambam did not count those as part of the mitzvot because they're so obvious and apparent as part of the foundation of Judaism. But there's no question that all of the great Torah sages and Chazal believed that Jews are obligated to live in the land of Israel, obligated to make Aliyah. The Vilna Gaon and other great Torah giants 200 years ago, and even more, when the land was a barren, desolate wasteland, when there was malaria, there were malaria-ridden swamps along the coast, and inward, the land was completely desolate and impossible, it was almost impossible to survive there, is what we were told. And Arab Muslims, even then, were murdering and slaughtering Jews in the land of Israel. Even then, the Vilna Gaon and other great Torah sages said, you must move to Israel. And they themselves, even when they were elderly, were trying to move to the land of Israel. So there's no question that we are obligated to live in the land of Israel. And Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Kahana, definitely was one leader who on that issue never compromised. He himself left the Jewish Defense League, left the JDL, during one of the periods when the JDL was at a peak of strength in 1971, when we were at a peak in our campaign to liberate Soviet Jewry, and we were in the headlines all over the world. And the JDL at that time had 16,000 paid members, had demonstrations with many thousands of people coming. The JDL was at its peak, so he could have stayed here and he could have said, well, listen, I'm conducting a campaign to free Soviet Jews and I have many other things that I have to do here. I can't go on Aliyah at a time like this. And there were many Jews who told him not to make Aliyah at a time like this. He left for Israel, made Aliyah in June of 1971 with his family, because he said that no matter what the circumstances, Jews are required to move to the land of Israel. Our presence in the Galut, in the exile, is in and of itself Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. Only in the land of Israel can we do Kiddush Hashem, sanctify God's name. The majority of the 613 mitzvot cannot be performed, cannot be carried out. The majority of the mitzvot in the Torah cannot be carried out outside of the land of Israel. Only in Eretz Yisrael can we be Torah true Jews in the real sense of the word. In the real sense. because we were intended to live in our own land in order to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. Not when we're scattered among the nations, helpless, defenseless, a hated minority, people envious of us because we're successful, because Jews are disciplined and are very intelligent and talented. God gave the Jews a lot of brains and a lot of talent, and they zoom to the top in every society automatically. And so there's tremendous envy and hatred of the Jewish people in every country. Instead of saying, wow, God really fulfills what he said he's going to do in the Bible, because he does fulfill everything he's going to say in the Bible, and admiring the Jewish people and saying, yes, we want to support God's people. Instead of doing that, which is what righteous Gentiles do, righteous Gentiles want to support the Jews and want to support Israel. Instead of that, most people, the inclination of most people, is to be hateful and envious, and so the Jews were always hated and persecuted throughout history. And so when we're in a situation like that, where we are not the captains of our own ship, where we are not, we don't decide our own fate, where we're a small, persecuted, scattered minority, we cannot truly be a light unto the nations in a situation like that. We cannot truly do the service that God intends us to do, to show the nations of the world that there is a God, that God controls the destiny of all nations, that God controls the destiny of the world, that God controls all history, that every little thing, that every time the wind blows a leaf, every time the slightest little thing happens, every time a molecule moves, it's because God allows it to happen or wants it to happen. God controls everything. And God decides what our destiny is based upon what choices we make, what free will choices. If we decide to be evil, you have a certain type of destiny. If you decide to be righteous, a different type of destiny. And sometimes you don't see all of that in this world, and you don't see it in the short term, but in the long term, you definitely will see it. There is no question you will see it. In the long term, there is justice, and there is truth, and there is righteousness in the end. In the end. And it is our job to bring that message to the world. And the only way we can truly bring that message to the world is if we're living in the Holy Land. If we're living as a separate and distinct nation in the Holy Land, serving as a light unto the nations, then we can bring that message. And that's what Rabbi Kahana taught us. And what he taught us was not Kahanism, it's Judaism. It's classic Judaism, classic Torah Judaism. When Jews didn't want to make Aliyah, after the Spanish Inquisition, we lost an opportunity to bring the Mashiach then. We could have had the Mashiach after the Spanish Inquisition, because there was a golden opportunity. The foreign minister of Turkey was a Jew, and he got the Turkish government to agree to allow the Jews to settle, as all the Jews that were expelled from Spain and Portugal as a result of the Inquisition. He gave them permission to resettle in the land of Israel. They chose not to. Instead, they moved to Turkey and moved to other countries, but chose not to live in the land of Israel. We lost a tremendous opportunity. And there were many other times in history when we lost many opportunities, when the Jews didn't want to leave Babel, they didn't want to leave Babylon to go back to the land of Israel, when the Second Temple was being rebuilt. As a result of that, again, we lost an opportunity to bring final redemption to the world. And of course, in the most recent history, 70 or 80 years ago, the Holocaust. There was a golden opportunity for the Jews to recreate a Jewish state. There was no question, things were happening, things were being put into place for a Jewish homeland, and the Jews didn't want to go. And so God forced them out of Europe and forced them out through a Holocaust, which didn't have to happen. If the Jews had wanted to go to the land of Israel, had wanted to obey God's commandment, the Holocaust could have been avoided. And so we have a situation here where there is no question that God wants the Jews back in the land of Israel. Chazal always told us, there will not be a Jewish state. The Vilna Gaon also said so. There will not be a Jewish state until there are at least 600,000 Jews in Israel. Why? Because there were 600,000 Jews that got out of the land of Egypt from the ages of 20 to 60. 600,000, the Torah counts 600,000 Jews. You read the Torah that says there were 600,000 Jews that got out. And so the number 600,000 was very significant. Very, very significant. Once there would once again be 600,000 Jews, a Jewish state would be recreated. We would finally have Jewish sovereignty and a Jewish state would be recreated. This is what we were told for centuries. In 1948, guess what? There were 600,000 Jews in Israel when we reached that point. for the first time in nearly 2,000 years. Just as the rabbis told us, the state of Israel came into being miraculously, incredibly, a breathtaking, unbelievable miracle, unparalleled in the annals of human history. A people coming back after 2,000 years of Holocausts and Inquisitions and persecution, coming back to the land of Israel and recreating the Jewish homeland that had existed nearly 20 centuries earlier. Because there were 600,000 Jews there. And at that time, maybe 5 or 6 or 7% of world Jewry lived in Israel. Only 5 or 6%. In the 1967 war, it was maybe 15% of the Jews in the world lived in Israel. Only 15% lived in Israel. 85% continued to live in the Galut, continued to live in the exile. Today, almost half of the Jews in the world live in the land of Israel. Almost half. It's over 40%. 6 million Jews in Israel, and I really question whether there, how many Jews live outside of, how many of them are really Jewish, the people that live outside of Israel that are defined as Jewish. Many of them aren't even really Jewish. You have people with Jewish fathers and non-Jewish mothers who define themselves as Jewish. According to the Torah, according to Jewish law, they're not Jewish. And people with Reform conversions and so on. So you have people that are calling themselves Jewish that aren't. Almost half of world Jewry now lives in Israel. It's getting there. It's coming to the point where soon we're going to be able to say a majority of the Jews in the world live in Israel. There is an inevitable, unstoppable movement in history to bring most of world Jewry to the land of Israel. And for Jews, in the face of that, to stay in the graveyard, what Rabbi Kahana called the graveyard, the spiritual and the physical graveyard of the Galut, is not only not Kahanism, it's not Judaism. America is a spiritual and physical graveyard for the Jewish people. The number of Jews in America shrink every year because of assimilation and intermarriage. 90% of American Jews know nothing about being Jewish and don't want to know. And that's not an exaggeration when I say 90%. Not an exaggeration. Maybe more. In Israel, we also have some very bad Jews. But you also have hope in Israel that the Jewish population, through natural birth, just through natural births, that's the one country in the world where the Jewish population is increasing every year. Not decreasing, increasing every year. So, Israel is where we have a future. We have no future in the Galut. And we are not allowed to live in the Galut. And don't tell me, well, we have evil leaders in Israel. I don't want to live there because they're evil leaders. You mean we didn't have a Jewish state and we didn't have evil leaders in the past? We weren't required to live in the land of Israel in the past when we had evil kings who murdered all the prophets? We had evil kings who worshipped idolatry, committed terrible sins? Jews were still required to live in the land of Israel even then. If there are evil people and evil leaders in Israel, your job as a Jew is to go to Israel and try to change that. Through your example, and through whatever you can do. If you can't, maybe you can't change it by yourself, but you got to do whatever you can do. Whatever you can do, you've got to do. That's your job. That's why you're in this world. That's why you were born. You think you were born to live in New York or Los Angeles or Philadelphia or Miami or Chicago or Paris or London? What a disgrace. We have a Jewish homeland and you're living outside the Jewish homeland? You weren't born for that. You were born to live in Israel. That's what Rabbi Kahana taught us. That is what Rabbi Kahana stood for. Now, I understand that there are Jews who don't want to make Aliyah right now. I understand that. I encourage good Jews to make Aliyah. The bad Jews, I don't have to encourage or discourage. They're not going to make Aliyah. Very few bad Jews want to make Aliyah anyway. But I encourage good Jews to make Aliyah. I encourage the good Jews to go to Israel. No question about that. And it is a commandment, and it is a mitzvah. But I understand that there are Jews who, for whatever reason, they're not going to do that. Unfortunate, but that's the way it is. But what I cannot respect is when those same Jews, who themselves are unwilling to make Aliyah, then say, Rabbi Kahana agreed with what I stand for. He agreed with me staying in the Galut. He agreed with Jews staying here. The very last speech he made when he was murdered was to urge Jews to make emergency Aliyah. That was the very last speech he made when he was murdered. How dare you? use his name to justify staying in America. You want to stay in America? That's your business. You want to stay in America? I'm sorry you're doing it. I think you're making a mistake. But if you want to stay in America, you stay in America. But don't use Rabbi Kahana's name and say Rabbi Kahana agreed with me. Or Rabbi Kahana would have agreed. There's no way he would have agreed. Since his murder, the process of a growing increase in Jews going to the land of Israel has continued unimpeded. Hundreds of thousands of new Jews from the Soviet Union, from France, from other countries, from Argentina, have made Aliyah since the rabbi's murder in 1990. There's no way he would have changed his view on that. First of all, the Torah doesn't change. And Rabbi Kahana was not someone who changed his views and changed his principles and did about faces on the issues. He was not a flip-flopper. You could say many things, but he was consistent and principled in every way. And if anything, everything we've seen since he was murdered reinforces the need for all Jews to live in Israel. On every front, it's better to live in the land of Israel. On every front. Yes, there's assimilation also in Israel. But like America? Are you kidding me? No way! No way! You don't have 60% intermarriage in Israel. You don't have 90% of the Jews in Israel not even knowing what it is to be a Jew. They wouldn't know a Jewish, as Rabbi Kahana used to say, they wouldn't know a Jewish concept if they tripped over it. You've got the most flourishing yeshivas and centers of Jewish learning in the land of Israel. Yeshiva students in Israel learn 3 times as fast as yeshiva students in America because they speak Hebrew. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. And so, if anything, I mean, this is a lot. Now you just buy a ticket, you make Aliyah, you have a Jewish agency help you and all these others. They help you, help you make Aliyah. And the American Jews, with all their guilt, with all their money, can't make Aliyah? Are you kidding? Jews used to go there when they had nothing. When they were being murdered. When it was a malaria-ridden swampland, the original Jews went there. The followers of the Vilna Gaon went there. And most of them died. Most of them died there. And still they went there because it was essential to settle the land. You don't have that situation today. So, yes, there's no question that Rabbi Kahana was uncompromisingly for Aliyah. For Jews to live in the land of Israel, only in the land of Israel, uncompromisingly. And it is disgraceful to use his name to say, Jew Kahanists can say Rabbi Kahana didn't stand for that. That's what Rabbi Kahana stood for. If you don't stand for that, you don't stand for that. But don't use Rabbi Kahana's name. Don't use his name to justify that. Because it's not true. From the beginning to the end, his whole life was devoted to Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael. The Jewish people, the land of Israel, the Torah, all three, all of them essential, all of them interconnected, integrally interconnected, each an integral part of the other. That's what Rabbi Kahana stood for. And I just wanted to do the beginning of this program in order to clarify that. As someone who worked with Rabbi Kahana for many years, probably longer than anybody, and as someone who was the national chairman of the Jewish Defense League during the peak of our campaign to liberate Soviet Jews, and yes, as someone who went to prison for doing probably 90% of the bombs of the JDL, probably the bombs are what made JDL famous. It was the bombings that made JDL famous. That and the tear gassing of the Soviet ballet. And I did as someone who did and led the JDL underground that carried out the vast majority of those bombings, I mean, I think that I know what Rabbi Kahana stood for as well as anybody. And now we have an organization, JTF, where we're completely law-abiding because it's times have changed and the issues are different, and now doing those types of things, engaging in illegal activities, would be counterproductive, wouldn't be helpful to our cause. There's nothing, we wouldn't gain anything from it. And so, we're now a law-abiding organization that advocates the things that Rabbi Kahana taught us about the land of Israel, Judaism, and the Torah. So now we're a completely, completely law-abiding organization. The things that I did before when I was younger, that was 30 years ago. I'm 60 years old now. But in any event, there's no question about what Rabbi Kahana stood for, and I hope that this brings some clarity to the issue. I want to now speak about Donald Trump, another issue that deserves clarity. You know, Donald Trump is not only bad for Israel and bad for America, but one of the things that is frustrating to those of us who supported Ted Cruz is the fact that no matter how far to the left Donald Trump moves, no matter how much he deviates from conservatism and acts like the left-wing Democrat that he has been his whole life, people will still justify it. People still make excuses for him. Just this past week, he called for 6 weeks of forced family leave for women. That women who give birth, a company is required to give them 6 weeks of paid forced family leave. Now, if a company wants to do that, that's fine in the private enterprise system, in the free market system. But to have the government force small businesses, for instance, to do that, you'll drive small businesses you'll drive them to bankruptcy. Government has no right to force rules like this on people. And that's why conservatives and conservative economists and Republicans were always 100% against any attempt by the federal government to force companies, private companies, in the free marketplace to give paid family leave for 6 weeks. Which is what Donald Trump is proposing. This is socialism. What he's proposing is socialism. This is Bernie Sanders. This is socialism. When the federal government comes and holds a gun to your head, in effect, and says, you must do what we say. You've got to pay your employees for 6 weeks, even though they're not working for you right now, whether you like it or not. What if a businessman doesn't want to? What if it's bad for his business? What if it's going to hurt his business? What if it'll put him out of business? What if he has to pass the costs on to the consumers, which causes inflation? And we're going to spread that type of harm all over the economy? The federal government should not be dictating to private business, and that has always been the position of all conservative economists and of all conservatives. And Donald Trump, this week, went completely against that and adopted the left-wing Democrat position of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and all the left-wing Democrats. We don't even have, under Obama, and Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim and a socialist, and even under Obama we don't have a situation where the federal government now is forcing companies. Obama hasn't succeeded in getting a situation where he can force private companies to give six weeks of paid leave to employees, whether they like it or not. Obama hasn't been able to do that, so Trump is going further than Obama here, to the left of Obama's policies. I'm not saying Obama wouldn't like to do that, probably would, but he hasn't been able to do that. Trump would be able to do it, because Trump would be a Republican doing it. And Trump has said this is going to be a priority in his administration. Trump also said he intends to expand Medicaid and expand all these social programs. Not only is he not calling for reforms, and without reforms, all these programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, are all going to go bankrupt. And they're going to bankrupt the whole country. They're going to destroy the whole country. The whole economy, the whole country is going to go bust unless there are reforms in these programs. You have to raise the retirement age. You have to make adjustments for people that earn large incomes. You have to make certain adjustments in terms of the payments that are given out. You've got to do those things. If you don't do it, there's no question that all of these programs are going to go bust, and that people today in their 20s, 30s, in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and I'm never going to see Social Security. They're never going to collect their checks unless something is done to reform the system. Donald Trump has said he will not tolerate any reform. He will not tolerate any cuts at all. Even many Democrats have said that there's a need for reform. So Trump is to the left of many Democrats on this issue. And this week he said he wants to expand He wants to expand these programs, spend even more on these programs that are bankrupting the country. Even Rush Limbaugh this week, who, for the sake of ratings, has defended Donald Trump and promoted Donald Trump. But one thing Limbaugh has said all along, Trump was never a conservative. And this week, Rush Limbaugh, in criticizing Trump's move to the left on these issues, Limbaugh said Trump is not a conservative and never was. That's what he said this week. Rush Limbaugh said that. And it's so obvious that that's true. He was always a left-wing Manhattan Democrat. So why is he better than Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton is terrible. I hate Hillary Clinton. We all hate Hillary Clinton in this organization. We hate her. But there is nothing about Donald Trump that is better than her. Nothing. And when you tell this to the Trumpsters, to the people who support him blindly, it doesn't make a difference. What did he say? He said, I could shoot people on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't make a difference there. I wouldn't lose any support. I could murder people on Fifth Avenue and wouldn't make any support. I wouldn't lose any support. Wouldn't make any difference in my support. And he was right. By the way, right after the election, we're going to have the lawsuits against Trump University. We're going to have large numbers of students, there were a lot of them were my age. I'm 60 years old. People, some of them were elderly people, some of them were middle-aged people, middle-class people, all working-class white people, overwhelmingly working-class white people who were ripped off by Donald Trump at Trump University. He just stole from them. It was complete fraud. Shlomo, our great Shlomo, just did this great video on this. I want you to see this video because I think it's worth seeing because I want to show off this video as much as possible. And this video does appear separately on our forum and on our Facebook page, everywhere else you could, and on our YouTube page. It does appear separately. Please promote this video. Please promote the video you're about to see. Here's a great video that Shlomo has done on the subject of Donald Trump and the fraud at Trump University. Let's watch.
This was the promise of Trump University when it launched, direct from the university chairman's own mouth.
At Trump University, we teach success. That's what it's all about, success. It's going to happen to you.
It operated from 2005 through 2010 and enrolled 10,000 students in real estate courses that range from free seminars up to $35,000 for advanced training and mentoring. Trump University took in an estimated $40 million from people who believed they too could someday become successful.
Put proven Donald Trump secrets to work for you.
But it turns out not everything Donald Trump promises comes true.
It was a classic bait and switch scheme. It was a scam, starting with the fact that it was not a university.
Trump University was a pseudo university where tens of millions of dollars was stolen. Those are the victims in Trump University. People who trusted and loved Donald Trump and were loyal to him. He stole money from them without any conscience, no concern whatsoever, just ripped them off and schemed to rip them off. There are now three lawsuits pending against him. He should be in prison for this. He belongs in prison because fraud is also a criminal offense. But anyway, there are three lawsuits against him. And in one of the suits, you've got a federal judge in San Diego who is of Mexican-American descent. And Donald Trump says because the judge is of Mexican-American descent, he can't judge the case fairly. I just want to say something in regard to all this because there's debate back and forth. Should Trump be saying this and so on and so forth? The people that Donald Trump ripped off were not Mexicans. The people Donald Trump ripped off were working class white people.
Donald Trump accused of fraud and slapped with a $40 million lawsuit going after his Trump University, which offered classes in real estate.
I was duped by the Donald. I paid $35,000 at Trump University and never heard from anybody.
My name is Jerry, and I'm a single mom. I was looking for a way to really make some more money, to really help my child, based on the fact that it was Donald Trump signed up. I made a huge mistake trusting him. paying $35,000, actually more than $35,000, was all supposedly supervised by Donald Trump.
I spent about $30,000 on Trump University, and basically all it did was ruin my credit and ruin my life. Trump University, they promised everything from start to finish, their expertise, their knowledge, their input, the financing. They didn't really deliver on anything. Got to remember, there's 5,000 victims in this.
They were his fans. They were the people who loved him. They were the people who watched him on television, watched his stupid reality TV show where he, in a very cruel way, he fires people and he humiliates people on TV and insults people on TV. And they loved that. They loved it. They loved his worship of money and his worship of materialism and how getting rich is the only important thing in life. They loved that. The members of the Trump cult who now support him for president. Very similar. Same profile of people. They were his biggest supporters. They, when he said he's starting Trump University and he said, I'm going to make you rich, I'm going to make you a millionaire, he promised them. I'm going to teach you how to become a millionaire. He didn't teach them anything. It was all a lie. And the documents show that the whole program was aimed at fleecing people who didn't have any money, who in many cases were already in debt, and he got them to run up their credit card to the max, and in some cases give him their whole life savings. They handed over to him, trusting him, believing him. He has contempt for everybody. He has contempt for his own followers, especially for his own followers. Remember, he said, I like uneducated voters. I like uneducated people. He actually said that in one of his speeches. Sometimes he gets caught telling the truth.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
You mean he's not rich enough? He has to steal money from these poor working class people. This is all they had left. And he took every last dime that they had. In some cases, put them deeply in debt. And by the way, Trump has no right to complain about Mexican judges because he has always been a supporter of affirmative action. He said one of the reasons he was against the Republican Party when he was a Democrat was because they're not for affirmative action. He says, that's an important issue for me. You've got to be for affirmative action. Just something for you to bear in mind, all the morons who support Trump and think that he's the savior of the white race. He'll stab you in the back in 2 seconds, just like he did to the so-called students at his so-called university.
America, do not make the same mistake that I did with Donald Trump. I got hurt badly, and I'd hate to see this country get hurt by Donald Trump.
I think it's time for the people of the United States to finally wake up. And if you agree, then join our Forum and Jewish Task Force Facebook pages.
And you don't have to be Jewish to join.
Also, you can help us by liking and favoring our videos.
Join with us together. Let's wake up the people of America and Israel before it's too late. In my opinion, the videos that Shlomo does are every bit as professional as the political campaigns themselves. Look, with such a tiny budget, look what we're able to do. Look at the talented people that we attract in this movement. Baruch Hashem, thank God. He puts together videos that are every bit as professional, every bit as compelling, every bit as good, if not better, than those of the Clinton and Trump campaigns. And the Clinton and Trump campaigns have hundreds of millions of dollars to work with. Isn't it time we woke people up? We're trying to wake people up. We're trying to bring a message of truth to people. You heard what we said about Rabbi Kahana and Aliyah. It's something that every Jew should hear. It's something every Jew in Israel should hear, because we don't want Jews in Israel to leave Israel. And we do bring this message to them in Hebrew as well, on our videos and in our movement in Israel. And, of course, we also are involved in the United States in trying to wake people up in America. If you agree with our message and you understand the importance of our message, and I know you great JTFers do, help us. Let's work together as a team. We need your prayers. We need you to help promote our videos in Hebrew and in English. We need you to be involved in our main pages. If you speak Hebrew, hayamin.org, hayamin.org, that's our Hebrew main page. If you don't speak Hebrew, at least be active on our English main page, jtf.org. The great Shlomo has constant updates every day, 6 or 7 or 8 updates every day. Be active on our English main page, jtf.org. And most of all, we need your financial support. The more financial support that we get, the more good that we could do, the more people we could reach. God bless the great JTFers who are helping us and who make it possible for us to reach the people that we're reaching with our message in Israel and in the United States. God bless the great JTFers who send checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box. If you prefer, if you prefer to send checks or money orders or cash donations to the post office box in the regular mail, God bless you. Or if you prefer to do it online for convenience sake with your credit card, that's also just as good God bless you. And by the way, very easy to do it online. You just go to our PayPal account, which you'll find on our Hebrew main page. Our Hebrew main page is hayamin.org, hayamin.org. And on top, there's a donate button in English. You click on the donate button in English there, and you can very easily and conveniently help us online if that's more convenient for you. Let's work together as a team. Let's work to make a difference in this world. Let's work to wake people up. Together we can make this a better world if we're determined to do so. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.